if you will, the Olympic Games Monday Night Football Championship fights conjure instead with the notion of Wonder Woman on the obstacle course. Kojak anchoring the tug of war. Farrah Fawcett Majors trying to be Sandra Palmer. Jimmy Walker spiking it for the point in volleyball. Barbara Hawkins moving from captains in the Kings to crash helmet and bicycle. Damon Wilson essaying the role of Jack Nicklaus. Adrian Barbeau of Maud meeting every physical challenge. Yes, it's the most unique sports competition in history. The stars of primetime television vying for almost $400,000 and pride and self-respect. We call it the Battle of the Network Stars.
Thanks for joining us back here on Throwback Reviews Podcast. My name is Sean, and joining me, my good buddy, Rob O'Hara. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, man. How are you doing? It's been a while.
It has. I think since, technically, I think it was like 2 days after Christmas, and then I let it out after the New Year. So, yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a minute. That's what the kids say now. That's what my son says. Yeah, it's been a minute since we did that. Yes.
Yeah, they say a lot. So we both have sons that are rough. I think your son's like about 8 months older than mine. So they're definitely different, we'll say.
Yeah, it's there's so many moments in my life now where I'm like, I'm an old man. I mean, I'm constantly reminded, like, you know, when I've been going to school, at work, when I talk to some of the younger employees, like, I'm just constantly reminded now that I am old.
Yeah, I'm reminded too. Like, even my mother will come over and she'll go, "God, Sean, you're getting really gray." Thanks, you know, and yeah, I mean, I worry about things like. When I was that age, why are my parents so worried about it? Now I'm that person, I'm worried about certain things and,
oh yeah.
And the way I gotta be honest, like the way my teenage son will act with his buddies, like just annoys the heck out of me at times because they're so loud and obnoxious. And I'm like, you're 15, act somewhat like a man.
Exactly.
It's all good. I'll tell you. So I have three kids. I have got my oldest, Ethan, who's 15. My daughter, she'll be 11 in August. And then my youngest son, he's 9. And Ethan really wants nothing to do with any of this retro stuff, whether it's, well, not the music. He can get into some of the music, but, you know, the TV shows and stuff like that. It's like we're talking about the Battle of the Network Stars today. He would not sit and watch any of these, but the younger two, Summer and Gabe, they're all for, man. Gabe is like my retro guy, man. I mean, he's already ripped through the whole A-Team series.
Nice.
A little Knight Rider until it got pulled off of Netflix. He's big into MacGyver right now. And
that's
actually
awesome.
We just picked up a new show. We haven't watched it yet because of Battle of the Network Stars, but I'll talk about it when we get to that. But
yeah, the music I think is an easy sell because I think for a long time my kids didn't even know that retro music was retro. Like I just listened to so much 80s music in the car that they just kind of assumed, you know, that this is modern music. So I kind of tricked them on that front, but there's no tricking them. When it comes to TV shows or movies, I mean, when they see something that's not in widescreen or not in HD. I mean, they instantly know, you know, and then their little antenna go up, you know, they're like, oh no, dad's trying to trick us, you know, into watching something old again. So, and you know, I mean, the good stuff, you know, the best stuff, that we would call retro. I mean, you know, movies like E.T. or The Goonies, or, I mean, like the real classic stuff from the 80s, they'll watch because that stuff is kind of timeless, you know. But when you start getting into the TV shows or the niche kind of things or whatever, man, it's tough right now, you know. And there's so much, I mean, I think about, I was just talking to a friend of mine about some of the movies that I liked when I was a kid. And the reason that I liked those movies was because they were on HBO. And so it was like, okay, you only have so many channels and they show the same movie 18 times a week. So you're going to watch it a few times. So they're really my favorite movies just because we were exposed to them. And now, you know, with Netflix and Hulu and I, you know, I, on our digital cable, I think we have 900 channels, you know, I mean, there's just so much stuff, you know, I mean, they're just competing with, so there is no channel that they watch to get exposed to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You mean like the old TV shows and everything?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, like when we were kids, well, like in the '80s, thinking about shows like, The Cosby Show or, Cheers or, you know, I mean, like we watched those shows just because they were on, and there weren't that many
you
channels.
You were kind of limited.
Right. You know, but we
had,
didn't
we
have.
We had 2-4 or.
Yeah.
The like what this is all about, Battle of the North Star. We had CBS, NBC, ABC, and then you'd go up to the, you know,
your UHF channels,
yeah, and then you'd get some other channels that way. But, but yeah, Ethan will watch some of the movies. Actually, we started to watch Die Hard a few weeks ago. I rented it off of Amazon Prime. The younger ones came home, so we couldn't really watch it. Mm-hmm. So I'll watch it tomorrow, and then it expired. So then I got a hold of you, but we still haven't had time to watch it. Well,
yeah. For my, this last semester, I took a few, well, all my classes of course are about writing, but one was about writing screenplays. And so one of our assignments was pick 15 movies and watch them. And then basically like take apart the script and find out like, how do these movies work? Like, how does the plot work, and look for certain things. And there were no rules on what movies you could watch. So almost everything I picked was from the '80s, and it was really interesting. And the reason I mentioned that is because one of them was Die Hard, you know? And so it was, the class was interesting to go back and look at those movies that we grew up and that we love so much, but also to look at it with a different set of eyes. Like, okay, I know that I liked Goonies, but why do I like Goonies? Like, what is it? And not just the nostalgia, but like, what in this movie makes it work? You know, like what are the things, what are the, you know, the plot points and things like that? Like, what moves the story forward? So it was really interesting to do that. Plus, I mean, any homework assignment where you have to watch 15 movies from the '80s is not a bad assignment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not bad. That's a good gig. Well, let's get into this Battle of the Network Stars. I have to say, this is an episode that I've been wanting to do. I mean, I probably mentioned to you years ago. I've been wanting to do it, but I just didn't know how we'd go about it. There's a lot of episodes for this show. I think there's what, 8 or 10 episodes in total?
Yeah, at least. And you know, I think there's 15 altogether, I think I saw. And what's crazy about it is this episode is really like an opposite episode, because most of the time, like, I'm not trying to say like I'm more retro than anybody else, but like I'm like so excited because it's something I grew up with, something I loved or whatever. And I have vague memories of this. And you're the one that was like, man, we got to do this. I remember this. This is great. And I'm almost feel like, I wouldn't say that this is the first time I've seen these, but I mean, I was aware of them, but as far as like any details at all, I couldn't tell you anything about it. So this has been a really great show topic that you threw out, because I have jumped into the battle of the network stars with both feet. And I mean, I haven't seen them all yet. I've seen quite a few of them over the past week or two, and I definitely want to see them all.
Well, there's actually some that I'm missing that I haven't seen as well. Some of the later ones. But it's funny because it's the same thing. Like, I'll be totally honest. Like, I didn't even know about the show. When I first started watching it, I was like, it seems familiar, but I think it's just because of all the familiar faces in these shows,
right?
You know, drawing me back to that time. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember watching these as a kid. I don't really remember even knowing about it. I mean, you're talking twice a year this would air. Back then, it was like you had a VCR or you were out of luck. You know what I mean?
So right.
I don't really remember it. And the first time that I actually was turned on to it was, I've mentioned before, and the Retroist podcast. And I think it was The Man from Atlantis, I believe, with Patrick Duffy.
Okay,
Because he was on it. And the Retroist actually, on that episode, actually got to call him and interview him. And he asks him about that at the end. And I remember going, what is this Battle of the Network Stars? It sounds genius. And that's when this is a couple of years ago. That's when I went and hunted down and found out about it and, went to the corners of the internet and found a bunch of episodes.
I think one of the funny things about this show, I know I've heard people mention it before, but if you say Battle of the Network Stars, to me, that sounds like a cheesy science fiction show. Which is obviously not what this is at all, but just the sound of it sounds like, the Battle of the Stars, like some kind of space show. So I think maybe in my head, that's why, when I heard this, it didn't spark anything, I think I might have been thinking of the wrong thing all this time.
I've heard it mentioned past couple of years on different, podcasts and stuff like that, but that was the first I heard of it. And, the minute I did find them, I've been, I don't watch them every day, but I will go in spurts. And a lot of times is like, I'd be doing laundry or something or just sitting around and not wanting to maybe, focus really hard, like on a movie, and I'll put it on for background now or something like that. And, I kind of went into one of those little, where I started doing it a couple of weeks back, and I said, Rob, why don't we, we got to get an episode out. You let's watch a couple of these
and
just talk about it. I mean, it's not going to be in depth or anything, but basically, so if you haven't watched or heard of Battle of the Network Stars, it was a series of episodes where you'd get different actors, television stars from different shows from the three major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and they would have a captain. Each team would have a captain, a different actor, and they would compete in just like a bunch of different events. You had swimming, kayaking, you had track, you had tandem bikes on the track, right? Then you had some fun ones. You had a dunk tank. I mean, everyone knows the dunk tank. You sit there, you throw the baseball at the target, and the buzzer goes off. So you had your dunk tank, so that was real fun. Golf in some of them, you had like a 3-on-3 football, so they're playing like from like the 25-yard line, and they if they went so far they could get so many points or touchdown. Obstacle course and I think all of them. Mm-hmm. You had Simon Says, another one, like the dunk tank was kind of a fun little thing. And actually one of the episodes that we purposely watched tonight with Mr. T, it was very entertaining. And then the last event, so the lowest scoring team out of the three networks was out, and the other two would basically battle for the win with a tug of war.
Yeah.
And
so what surprised me right off the bat is that like you said, each team had a captain, and then there were maybe 10 people, 10 celebrities per team, something like that. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a dozen.
Yeah.
And I heard on one of the episodes that they said that third place, each contestant won $10,000. And if they won second place, each contestant on the team won $15,000. And first place, each contestant won $20,000. Doesn't it seem like if this show were on today, that they would be raising money for charity or something. It wouldn't be rich celebrities competing to get richer.
You know, I'll tell you, that was the first thing when I watched these, when I heard that, I thought that same exact thing. It would be, oh, Team ABC is
playing,
you know,
for, right.
They're playing for such and such, and NBC's playing exactly, for such and such charity. Yeah, absolutely thought the same thing. I thought, man, that kind of makes them look like, you know, asses in a way.
Yeah. But, you know, my other,
and
oh, go ahead.
And then I kind of thought it was funny that they were, I thought maybe the networks would just kind of be like, look, we need you to go and do this, like that. They wouldn't even really get paid, right. You know?
This is my other thought before we jump into this first episode. But as we're watching the first episode, obviously the top, I mean, this show takes the top stars from each network. The people that are on this show is a reflection of basically who are the primetime stars of network television at that time. And I thought, there's not very many black people on television at this time, you know? I mean, so when there is somebody, any minority at all, they really stand out on this show because, I mean, for the most part, like, they're having all these races and doing this. And I was like, there's an awful lot of white people on this show, you know? Were some of the, well, I think you're probably going to go through, some of the people that were on the team, but there was the one guy from, Sanford and Son.
Damon Wilson.
Yeah. Wilson. And then, JJ Walker, you know, but that, I think that's pretty much it for that. Is there somebody else?
Or are you talking about the first episode?
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. Other than that, well, yeah, there was that one other guy, and then there was Mr. T. I mean, so that's pretty much, but that's out of, I mean, almost over 100 contestants, you know. So that really just kind of stood out as, you know, how much the television landscape has changed since and probably maybe as you go deeper into the 80s episodes, it may be a little different. But for the early 70s, you know, for the ones that are in the late 70s and the early 80s, it's reflective of the times. But it just kind of jumped out at me.
So the host was Howard Cosell for pretty much all of them. I know he missed some of them. I think pretty much everyone from our generation and above know Howard Cosell, sports announcer.
And they can do the voice of Howard Cosell. I think that's the first impersonation everybody learns.
Yep. I remember seeing like Billy Crystal, who appeared on an episode or two, actually, I think two episodes. And then actually he co-hosts with Howard on one of them. I remember him doing Howard Cosell imitation. So, I mean, everybody, maybe younger generations don't know who Howard Cosell is anymore, but it's a very distinct voice. And, he did them, and they were all recorded at Pepperdine University, which is in Malibu, California. And I say that because he always says it in that Howard voice, you know, Pepperdine University. So I think it sticks out to everybody who watches these and loves these, you know. Yeah, they're at Pepperdine University. Like, I never knew of Pepperdine University until watching this show. But yeah, Howard Cosell, really, I was really impressed. Well, I'm sure some of it was dubbed after, but when he's calling them or even talking to people, like, he knew like their characters, what TV shows they were from. Like, he clearly, I mean, one of those guys who just can pick that stuff up and retain that information.
Yeah, the quality that he has, I mean, his experience of being a sports announcer definitely comes out. I mean, it's a quality type thing where he is, you know, describing the races and what's going on. The other thing, again, and this is more just a reflection of the times, but I thought I was really laughing, like, the way that he talked to the women. on the episodes.
Yeah, we're thinking the same things on this.
Yeah, I mean, he would say, like, you know, now you're a pretty fast runner for a woman. And, how do you train? I'm just making this up. Like, how do you train when you spend so much time in the kitchen? You know, I mean, just like things like that. Like, you would not say on a TV show today.
No, you're absolutely right. And not only did he do that, but he was very kind of subtle in the way he was flirtatious with the women. And, you know, when I think it was the May of 83 episode, which we watched, and Morgan Fairchild was his co-host, and he like totally just pours it on with her.
And what a joy to have you.
Oh, well, thank you. It's good to see you again.
I didn't have the foggiest notion that you had this much poise, sophistication, allure, beauty, and sexuality. Here we go. Coming up.
But I think it was that episode. I don't know. They all start to, you know, blend in together, but there was like a woman co-host, and even she was kind of like, oh, well, you know, the women, they're not used to this. They're not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, totally. Mm-hmm. Again, just like you said before, showing the times, like they would not do that.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't just him. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, that was like the whole theme. And I think that was when he was talking to Morgan Fairchild. And there was an interview with, I think it was with Farrah Fawcett. And one where he says, you know, so, you know, is your husband jealous of what men think of you because you are so sexy? She's just like, no, I don't know, just very, it's dated for sure.
Well, so you think of back when we watched TV as kids, right? And, they were, I guess, a lot more conservative, it seemed. To a degree, right? The shows, they didn't talk about certain things, but like on this, you could see, it's just like everybody, I mean, they're hugging, they're kissing, they're smooching the dunk tanks. The women are flirting.
Oh,
very sexual driven show. I thought, I was like, geez, Louise.
And maybe this is just because we're old perverts, but
I hope that's not it, but I definitely can notice it.
But definitely, I would say that as far as the quality, the advancements in technology we have made in swimsuits and undergarments over the years, we have made huge strides. I mean, there's lots of jiggling, let's say.
There is. Yeah. There's God, maybe we are just dirty old men watching this, but there definitely is a difference in the suits that the women wore back in the 70s and 80s compared to now. And it's funny, too, because they're covering more, but it seems to be revealing more. If that makes sense?
Yeah, I thought, like, you know, if the people were – I mean, some of the guys were maybe not G-strings, but pretty – I mean, you know what
I mean?
They're
wearing like a Speedo.
Yeah, Speedos, and I was just thinking, like, if people – I kept comparing it to today. Like, if they did this show today, would the guys – like, would people on modern television, would they come out in Speedos? Would the women come out? Is every woman on television going to come out in a bathing suit? And I don't know. It just seemed like – maybe that's the spirit of the swinging 70s or whatever. We were pretty young, so we don't remember how it is. But
Now,
you said Howard Cosell was the host, but there was a co-host that kind of surprised me.
Yeah. So the first episode that we watched, we picked three. Like I said, we watched a lot of them, so they do blur together. We just said, all right, let's just pick the three that we can kind of focus on as far as who was on them and shows and stuff like that. So the first one we watched was the original episode, 1976, which I believe it was supposed to be maybe a one-time shot. The production on this one is really a lot different than as they get later in the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do little cutaway kind of like mini, like 5-minute documents.
Yeah, a little promo thing or something almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, Linda Carter, who was Wonder Woman, they did a whole thing on her for 5 minutes. And then who the heck was it? It was one of, maybe Farrah Fawcett or something like that. But the intro to this first episode has got to be close to 10 minutes, right? It's a great intro, and you probably just heard some of it as you listen to this episode, because I can't get enough of it, so I probably put it in there. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I don't know. You know I don't. But what I kind of was thinking about as I'm watching, so it's 1976, right? I was born in 74, but a lot of the shows on here, not all of them, but there was a lot of shows on here that I remember watching as a kid, and it just made me realize, like, wow, I was watching a lot of syndicated shows already as a kid in the early 80s, right? Because you had Wonder Woman, remember watching those. I remember seeing Charlie's Angels on. Little House on the Prairie. You know, there's a lot of those
One
shows.
One Day at a Time, you had Pat Harrington, right? You had, who else? Battlestar Galactica. Richard Hatch from that was on there. So I totally agree. Was What's Happening, was that in syndication when we were watching it in the '80s, or was it on that long? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I didn't look into that deep.
Yeah.
But
I don't remember. I was surprised how many people.
The
first one, the guy that was Radar on MASH, I think he was on that first one. So, yeah, there's totally, I mean, I was surprised how many people I knew. And what's funny is because a lot of the events are relay things. Like one of the first events is a swimming competition where there are three lanes and I think there are four people. So even if you don't know all the people, you're going to know some of them. You're going to know quite a few. So the ones that you don't know just kind of fall in the background and you end up watching the people that you know.
Yeah. And it was funny because Nicole would come in and watch a few minutes. Like, she's not into the retro stuff like this at all, you know? But I'd be watching with the kids and she'd be like, who is it? I'm like, oh, you got to know who that is. I don't know what show they're from, but I know that face, you know? And it usually would be somebody that was like from Dynasty or something like that. A show that I didn't really watch, but, you know, crossed my radar as a kid, something like that. Excuse me. So in this episode, we've got our three networks. So we've got Gabe Kaplan, who is the team captain for ABC. Gabe Kaplan, as you know, he is from Welcome Back, Kotter. Then we have Telly Savalas, who is Kojak. He's team CBS captain. And then NBC team captain is Robert Conrad. And he was from a show, Baba Black Sheep. This, I have to say, as a whole, for all the episodes that I've seen, it's, and even this one, 95% of it, it was all in good fun, right? It was
95%.
They're all joking. They're all 95% of it, because there's an incident in this episode at the track where there's a discrepancy on where the baton is passed off. It's too early by Team NBC, which is Robert Conrad's team, and they call it back, basically. They penalize him. Robert Conrad gets really pissed off. He's like, so what? We took the baton too early. It just means that we had to run even further and we still beat you. And they're like, but you didn't. I mean, it's a technicality. He challenges Gabe Kaplan. He says, come on, let's go run. And they run. When there's an even, like, the teams are really getting kind of, you know, like, this isn't fair.
Right.
It should be all of us redoing or whatever. They do a runoff, Gabe Kaplan and Robert Conrad. And you know what's funny? While they're arguing about it, Robert Conrad is smoking. You know, they just do a track event, and he's pissed off, and he's having a cigarette. I thought that was hilarious. But Gabe Kaplan,
who knew that Welcome Back, Kotter was so fast. I mean, maybe he got a lot of training running away from the sweat hogs or something. I don't know. I mean, he was fast. But you're totally right. I mean, the theme. If you did that again, if this were to happen today, I think. If a team captain lost their cool like that, they would cut that out of the episode, or they would, you know, or they would walk away. I mean, it is like you losing your cool while you're playing Frisbee with your kids or something. I mean, the feeling of this show overall is, here's a bunch of people that you know from TV, and we're all out here to have a good time. And obviously, it's a ratings boost for all three networks. What network did this air on?
I believe they all aired on ABC.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're doing cross promotion with, I mean, you've got every, you know, the when they're doing the kayak races, there's a big CBS and NBC logos and stuff. I mean, so it's an advertising thing. And do you want not just a guy on your team, but the team captain who's really representing your channel, your network? Just, I mean, he's the amount of anger that he has in this thing. It's not like he can't just, you know, he doesn't just get mad and walk away or something. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It's really awkward.
It is, because I forget what they're saying. He's like hell. And they say somebody's like hell. He's like really pissed off, smoking his cigarette.
Yes.
And, you know, and then it's funny because they have the runoff between him and Gabe Kaplan, and Gabe Kaplan smokes him, like I said. And Conrad comes up like a gentleman and says, you know, then that's how I like it. But did you notice? Okay. Did you notice, though? He kind of gave him like a backhanded compliment, right? He's like, the better man won, the best team won, but the better man won now. Or so. Like basically saying like, yeah, you beat me, but my team is still better than your team.
Yeah. It was,
it was like he challenged him because that would squash all question of who the better team was. And he lost. He's like, shit, well, we're still better. You beat me, but we're still better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was
definitely funny.
That was definitely the strangest part of the whole episode, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and they do these little cutaways where they do a little bit of a coverage of a certain person. They show them behind the scenes at their show and this and that. Well, as this is going on, they're going, you know, I forget who the woman was. She's some journalist. I looked her up back, the famous journalist.
Oh, yeah. I wondered who that was.
So they would cut back the, yeah, Howard would cut to her, and she's like, well, or Howard was saying, like, you know, as frustrated as he is, he's actually a gentleman or something like that. And she starts telling this story about how he's a wonderful father and this and that. And so it's like they're trying to, they're like, all right, we got to edit something. Yeah. We got to soften this one here, this Conrad. But Conrad comes back for the next couple years, and then he even comes back as a as one of the co-hosts of Howard Cosell at some point too. So clearly didn't burn any bridges there. I think the drama was well received.
Yeah,
actually.
It should be.
But
yeah,
it was funny. But like I said, 95% of it was all happy fun. The teams are joking and laughing. I mean, they were trying, but there's some swimming events where, you know, people get in there and they didn't know how to swim. You know,
yeah, I forgot they were making fun of somebody.
I can't remember.
They were like, well, she's doing.
It was one of the women. Yeah, he says she's doing the overhand
stroke
with the breaststroke kick or something.
Yeah, they were like, that's going to be a bad, you know. And there's a couple times where Howard Cosell's like, and she's almost drowned in the water. So that cracked me up. You know, there was a little bit, like, what I really, on that first one, what I liked was, like, Telly Savalas, Gabe Kaplan, who were almost, not quite doing a character, but in a way, you know, like Telly Savalas would, was still that calm, cool guy that he was when he was coaching.
Yeah, he's,
you know?
He's the cool Greek guy.
Right, you know, Gabe Kaplan was, you know, doing little funny little bits and this and, you know, those sorts of things like that. So that's what I liked was, you know, Farrah Fawcett, you know, when they talked to her and she's it was funny because this is really early in her career. You know, they were like, and you're just getting started, you know, as Charlie's Angels. And how is that? So you have different people, you know, at different stages of their career, I guess, a lot of young people, but overall it was like, you got to see a little bit of their personality, but a little bit of them, you know, still being an actor kind of, you know what I mean? And that's why that Robert Conrad, I guess that's why that stood out so much, is like everybody else was just, you know, having a good time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of the standouts that I think, you know, most people would know maybe by name or at least the character, you had Penny Marshall, who was from Laverne.
Oh, yeah. So yeah.
She was goofing. Yeah. Hal Linden, Barney Miller. He's on there. Ron Howard. We all know Ron Howard from Happy Days and Opie and the Andy Griffith Show. You mentioned earlier, Damon Wilson, Jimmy Walker, Richard Hatch. You know, there was familiar faces, Melissa Sue Anderson. Now I don't know her by name. She's Mary on Little House on the Prairie. And you got Karen, Grazel, yeah. I think her last name, who was the mother on Little House on the Prairie. So you're seeing all these, like I said, familiar faces and Karen, who was the mom on Little House on the Prairie. She was pretty feisty too. She's like, we're here to you know, destroy him or something like that. You know, he was definitely having fun on this. But I think if you're going to go and watch this, I would definitely say go to the first episode, because the intro alone, I mean, you got Telly Savalas, you know, in a hot tub or something, getting a phone call.
No, make believe. We're going to bury him. Yeah.
Is that what you want done? Don't worry about it. They died. When? They died today.
Yes, I know. Mr. S, believe me, we will teach those bums a lesson they will never forget. Yes, Mr. S, I guarantee it. Thank you for your confidence, Mr. S.
Their soldiers came not on foot nor horseback, but by jet and limousine, as befitted their station. They came girding for battle to hurl themselves against one another in mortal combat, all lusting for victory at any cost. And when they met, it was called the Battle of the Network Stars.
Intro. It's pretty funny. It's a good stuff. I would definitely say start with that, because even if you don't think you'll recognize, you definitely are going to recognize a lot of people on this episode. But one person that maybe younger people probably really wouldn't recognize is one of the, he wasn't a co-host, but he stepped in, I believe, at the track and trying to help him learn how to do the baton pass and start at the track was Bruce Caitlin Jenner. I mean, he was just coming off being an Olympic star.
Yeah, I was, you know, there's so many celebrities that our kids we'll never know the way that we knew them. I remember when Michael Jackson passed away, and I was probably, I mean, I wasn't upset. Like, I wasn't crying or anything like that, but like, it hit me, you know, like, I mean, I remember all those times. I remember like wanting to go to school early so I could have a few extra minutes to work on my moonwalk. You know, like, I remember wanting to have, you know, wear one glove. And these are all the things that when our kids do that now, we're like, what are you doing? You know, like when we see our kids doing goofy stuff, like dabbing or whatever, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, but we were, you know, at that age. And so when Michael Jackson passed away, my kids were like, you know, yeah, wasn't that the weirdo guy with no nose and a pet monkey? And you're like, that's all you know? Like, that's all they know about him. You know, and I mean, and my kids know Thriller. You know, they know the Thriller. So my kids were probably more exposed to Michael Jackson than a lot of other kids in their school. But it's just that thing where, depending on, you know, your age, like, how do you know a celebrity? We just went through this, the same thing with Prince, you know? And so for us, Like when I was a kid and the Olympics were a huge deal, it was Bruce Jenner. You know, it was all about Bruce Jenner being on a cereal box or Bruce Jenner. Like if you want to be in track, you know, I mean, it was like, oh, you want to run as fast as Bruce Jenner. Like people would say that, you know. And so my kids obviously have no point of reference as to who Bruce Jenner was. We don't watch Kardashians on TV, but I'm sure my kids know who Caitlyn Jenner. I'm sure they know the name, you know, and so that would be their reference. So, and my kids haven't watched this episode yet, so it would be interesting to get their point of view on that, to see him, not just see him as the way he was, but I mean, this is like in his prime as an athlete, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It would be interesting to see if they even like put two and two together. I mean, they've obviously heard Bruce Jenner as well when the transition was going on, so they'd know the name. But I think we see him again as an actual co-host possibly at another time. He never competes, but I think he came back. But the second episode that we did watch was from December of 1982. So generally there'd be a December episode and a May. So we'd have your spring and fall episodes each year. Again, Howard Cosell, this time co-host by Debbie Allen, which she is from Fame. Is that what it is?
I think so. Didn't she have like that? What do you call it? It's like not a headband. I mean, it's kind of a headband, but it was like where it was twisted around, you know, like.
Oh, like the braided headband? Yeah. She may have. Yeah. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, yeah, while you're looking her
she was from Fame.
Okay. And who are the captains on that one?
So the captains on this episode, we have William Shatner. We all know him as Captain Kirk, but at this time he was on T.J. Hooker. We have Kevin Dobson, who I believe at this time was on Kojak and then went on to Knott's Landing. He appeared on a few episodes also. And then we had Daniel Trevani, who was from Hill Street Blues. Hill Street Blues. Another show. I think I remember it, like maybe my mom watching it or something, but it's not something I sat down and watched. But if I totally know of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I more than the show for Hill Street Blues, I just remember that intro. You know, I think it came on late at night, and I remember the music at the beginning and seeing the like.
Was
the,
it like a montage of still pictures or no?
Yeah, I think so. And they had like the front of a car seems to be, you know. But yeah, Hill Street Blues, and William Shatner seemed really young and seemed to have a lot of hair. You know what I mean? That's not how a lot of these people are it's not how we think of them today, you know? So it was interesting to see him in his prime. You know what stuck out for me on this episode was and we could talk about, you know, some of the other people that were on here, but today, like when we watch think about MMA, things like that, you know, or boxing or any type of competitive sport, they go to great lengths to make sure that the fighters are very evenly matched. You know, in MMA, I mean, they want to have people at the exact same weight. A lot of times they'll compare people and their reaches are, you know, within an inch or two of each other and they're the same height. They're the same thing. Very early in this episode, there are races where grown men are running against Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, Howard Cosell, poor little Ricky with his children's size legs.
Yeah. The kid. He refers to him as the kid.
Exactly. I was like, that doesn't seem very fair.
Well, didn't the team's captain designate the lineups?
Well, they would have to, but you got to put Ricky Schroeder in somewhere, you know. It's just,
yeah. Well, I guess if you're basing this on Battle Network Stars' way of thinking, you would have you know, Ricky Schroeder against someone like a Helen Hunt or Heather Locklear, right? Because clearly back then they assumed that the women couldn't run as fast as right. even a male.
Right. No, they just get some guy in his 30s and they're like, and there he goes and the kid is in the dust.
Yeah. So, some of the names from here, if you want to go over some of them that were on this episode that are from.
Well, let's see. Helen Hunt, that one jumped out. I mean, was it It Takes Two? Is that who it was at the time? I mean, obviously, we know her from Mad About You and from lots of movies since then. But she looks really young in this episode. Heather Locklear, you mentioned, who... she was on T.J. Hooker at the time. I mean, I know her from didn't she marry Richie Sambora? I think that's who she married from Bon Jovi. Yeah.
Yeah. And then didn't she marry the other guy, Tommy Lee? Or something?
Yeah, she did marry Tommy Lee. So she was. And I mean, when you see like her and Farrah Fawcett, there's a couple other ones in these. Morgan, what's her name? Morgan Fairchild. She's not really my style, but man, you put a girl in some 80s hair and eyeliner. Oh, and then put them in a bathing suit and a dunk tank.
On the next episode, I totally thought of you with Morgan Fairchild and that hair. I was like, oh, there, Rob's in his glory.
Bigger, the better.
Big hair.
Heather Thomas was on this one from The Fall Guy. Of course, what was his name? Damon Wilson from Sanford and Son. He came back. Let's see. Was it on team? Who is this? Team CBS, I guess, would be. I could never say his name. Bruce, how do you say that?
Boxleitner. Yeah, you know, he's a face now. He's definitely a face that you'll recognize. And I think he was from, what was he on? What show was he on? Scarecrow and Mrs. King later, like in the early 80s. I don't remember what he was on at this point in time. But if you're familiar, the reason that name sticks out to me is if you're familiar with the Star Wars radio dramas that they played, I believe, on NPR years ago. I'm not sure. He was the voice of Han Solo. So
was he really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? The radio dramas?
Yeah.
They did the original three movies as radio dramas. They're really awesome. I mean, they even had some, like Mark Hamill, I think, was in two of the episodes. I'm not sure if it was the first one and second or the second and third, but.
Yeah. So he played Han Solo, but I mean, when I saw him instantly, I knew him from Tron. That's where I, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, there you go. So that's what that one jumped out to me.
In Tron Legacy.
Yeah. 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 Let's see who else was, on there.
Well, this is the one, like you said, with Rick, we had Ricky Schroeder. We got Melissa Gilbert this time, who was Half Pint on Little House on the Prairie. Right.
Hey, I think this is the episode where she says that she just turned 18 or something.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think she was on another episode, maybe when she was, you know, 79 or 80 or something like that. She was a little bit younger.
Lots of, Delta Burke was on this one, which was surprising. Very young Delta Burke.
The one, now I told you, my son and I got a new show to watch. I remember the show, but I can't put any memories to watching it. I'll have to see when I do, if it becomes familiar, but, Stephen Collins was in Tales of the Golden Monkey. And, I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can find that. And took some digging and some waiting, and I finally got that show. So we're going to start that probably tomorrow. I've watched intro. It looks familiar. It's very Indiana Jones-ish kind of, I guess. I don't know. I keep thinking of like DuckTales, but not cartoons. So, I don't know. That's kind of how this one struck my interest. I go, I remember the show, but I don't remember really much about it. So I did some Google searching, because that's what I would do when I watch these. Like, those people you see him on here, I would have to Google like what they were on and where I might have seen him. Again, yeah. Bruce Boxleitner, I remember from Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Yeah. Now, one thing I didn't mention on the previous episode was not only was Gabe Kaplan the team captain on ABC, but one of the competitors was is it how do you say his last name? Robert. I think they call him Bob in the episode. Hedges or what? It's Epstein, Juan Epstein from Welcome Back, Kotter. And so yeah. as they're running the obstacle course. He like slips and tears his hamstring and he's down and then of course Howard Cosell wants to come interview him as he's laying there and he's like, well, I've really hurt myself, you know, and it's this weird kind of thing. And as these go on, I'm trying to remember specific instances because I think that happened in this episode too, but people are actually getting hurt. And that's another thing where, you know, with modern TV people with, you know, I mean, when I think of celebrities now, I think of things like bodyguards. I think of things like them being protected and escorted to different places and stuff. I don't think of, you know, the Kardashians, like we just mentioned them earlier, running a race where they could hurt their knee and be down for months at a time, you know? So, as these guys like Ricky Schroeder, you know, when they're doing this obstacle course, which I think you mentioned is on every single season, the two contestants, they start running, they dive under a trampoline. So they crawl on the ground as fast as they can under a trampoline. They jump up, they run, they go through a series of tires, like a tire obstacle, which half the time somebody trips or gets their foot caught up. They have to climb over a wall. They have to swing on a rope over a water obstacle. And there are all these things. Oh, they do a monkey bars. But I mean, there are things where you could actually, you know, get hurt in this competition. And I was just amazed, how many minor injuries. And I was really amazed that people didn't get hurt more seriously on this show.
Yeah. And that's something like now, and they do plan on, I think in 2 months, they're going to release the first episode. They've redone it. And I wondered,
really,
I thought, man, they'll never do this again because of insurance reasons. I mean, who wants to let their star go out and potentially get injured or anything like that? So I'm surprised that one people didn't because they, I mean, especially the obstacle course, I mean, you really could get jacked up pretty good. You know, you fall the wrong way or like you said, tear a hamstring or something like that. So
I just see like, I mean that, you know, back then Juan Epstein falls and hurts his shin, you know, and they're like, oh, well, sorry. But now, I mean, how many lawsuits do you think would, if these happened today, just like these, I mean, like every episode where, you know, where people are getting dunked, that was this the first one? I don't remember if it was in the first one or not, but I remember a lot of dunk tank footage, in this one. Is this the one where, I think I want to say Heather Locklear is like getting up on the dunk tank bench or whatever, and somebody dunks her and her foot gets caught on the net, and so she like she's doing the splits, and then somebody comes running over and they're like, that looks very painful for her, you know. And I'm like,
yeah,
I mean, everything that happens, I'm like, lawsuit.
Yeah, it was her and Heather Thomas were on
that's the, right
on there at the same time, and she played Jody Banks on The Fall Guy, which is another show that Gabriel and I will occasionally watch. There, it's on Hulu, so we'll watch the Fall Guy.
That's a great show.
It's awesome, man. Like Summer will watch anything, but Gabe really like he'll watch him when I'm not even there. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'll come home and he's watching MacGyver. I just love it. I absolutely love it because I can't stand the TV today. And let's see here. Why don't we move on to our third episode and just kind of talk about who was on that one as well and some of the shows. This one was from May of 1983. I had to get one that was kind of, you know, in our, I guess, our prime in that young age. kind of thing. And so this one, again, Howard Cosell, but Morgan Fairchild, like I said, mm-hmm. saw the big poofy hair and I thought, oh, Rob's going to like this one.
Like, all right, more hairspray, the better.
Yeah, we had John James was the captain for Team ABC. He was from Dynasty. And we had Tom Wopat from CBS. And
yeah.
He is Luke on the Dukes of Hazzard. Big dude, man. He is a big dude.
Yeah.
And Bruce Weitz, he is from Hill Street Blues, and he is the captain. I believe that's how you say the last name for NBC. And Howard makes note of that the fact that he's kind of a shorter fella. Especially compared to John James and Tom Wopat.
Yeah, he mentions that a couple of times, you know. So on the ABC team, I mean, the one that jumped out at me right off the bat was Scott Baio. And I mean, he is, gosh, at this time, I don't know how. I mean, he's got to be maybe in his teenager, late teens, would you say? I mean, he's still pretty young.
I would say he's probably around 17, 18, 19, yeah, somewhere yeah. around there.
That's what it looked like to me. Of course, Heather Locklear is back. Randy Oakes, who was on Chips,
notes,
right?
What are the notes? Yeah, what do the notes say on there?
Bonnie Clark on Chips. And what does that say?
Many BNS. She was on many Battle Network Stars. And then
oh, says, yeah, yeah. Hot. Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, there's some smoking, you know, I mean, it's hard, you know, they play it up when they're in the dunk tank and, you know, the girls are trying to distract the guys that are throwing, the balls at them at the dunk tank, you know, and they're like literally like wiggling around and it's definitely played up that way. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like they're definitely trying to get the attention that way. Who else jumped out at me? Oh, you know, this is the second one that I saw that had Mr. T in it. And Mr. T, there's a guy, we know that there's a guy that's not Mr. T. Like somewhere inside him, he comes home and when no one else is around, he's not Mr. T. But when he puts on that gold, when he steps out in public, he's Mr. T. You know, and I mean, on this show, he's Mr. T. I loved it, man. I mean, when he's doing the football, he's like, you go down there. I'm going to throw you the ball. I mean, that's a terrible Mr.
He,
T.
Well, yeah. he definitely plays up the Mr. T act, but mm-hmm. I liked it because he cuts loose, too. He's like so he's so fun on the show.
Oh, yeah.
He the episode starts, I think it's either this one or I think it is this episode because he's also on, I think, the December of 1983 as well. And he starts it and he's like, you know, I'm angry. I slept on the floor and didn't have breakfast today.
I saw that one. Know? Yeah, I watched that one. Yeah, that was, I mean, like he's just getting pumped up, you know. So I really enjoyed watching him. And like you said, he does, you know, there's one point where Howard Cosell is talking about Mr. T and he says, you know, he really is a nice guy. Like he's very good with the children, I think is what Howard Cosell says. But I thought Mr. T, that was a great addition, to the show. Nancy McKeon, who I had a crush on, from Facts of Life. Oh, Joe from
the
Facts
name
of
sounds
Life.
Familiar. Oh yeah, she yes. Was, okay. Yeah, okay.
Of course on this, you know, I mean on Facts of Life, you know, she was the tough girl Joe, so she always had a ponytail and she was always working on her motorcycle and, you know, Mrs. G, gotta work on my motorcycle. And of course on this she, you know, she's all done up and everything. And I was like, oh, Nancy McKeon. I enjoyed that. And then the Meredith Baxter Burney, the mom from Family Ties, who I remember watching Family Ties as a kid and thinking those parents were really old. And she doesn't look that old in this.
Okay. Let me just side note here. Go back to the 76. How old do you think Robert Conrad was in that episode?
I mean, thinking of, I mean, just thinking like what we saw, like
yeah, don't overthink 40s? It, but like, what,
yeah, I don't know, late 40s,
yeah, he's 48, 41,
49,
He was 41.
That's crazy. Yeah, he seems like an old, bitter man.
He looked like he's pushing like 50. I don't know if it was just that bravado of like a seasoned old dude or something, but he says something and he's like 41. I'm like, holy crap.
Well, and when you're running a marathon or running a race while you're smoking, I mean, that'll do it. That'll age
you look aged, right? Meredith Baxter Burney, who and her husband David Burney, which I know his face. I can't say what I've seen him from. But he was on there.
Yes.
No longer husband. Yeah, She's married to a woman now, I believe.
Oh, is she? I didn't know that. There was one scene where they like she hopped out of the dunk tank and then hugged that guy. And I was like, wow, I guess they're pretty friendly on the show. And then that, I guess it was her husband. So it made more sense. Who are some of these other ones on here?
Well, Jeffrey Scott, he's from Dynasty. Didn't know him or anything, but he looks just like Magnum P.I. Actually, he looks like, and they may mention it, but he looks like Magnum, but he also looks like Burt Reynolds.
Well, they all have the same mustache. That's what we need to do for this. Listen, are you willing to make the commitment for this podcast? Throwback reviews. I mean, we're into the 80s. I think that's what we need to do. We need to bring back that mustache.
You know what? I just shaved today, dude. I'm sorry. I would do it.
Yeah, we'll totally Photoshop. We'll put it on in Photoshop. Yeah. any of these other ones stick out at you?
No. I mean, again, familiar faces. Probably noticed maybe half the other ones remaining, but don't know them off the top of my head. I'm Adrian Zemed. I think the first time I saw him, he was on Grease, I think, or Grease 2. Yeah, Grease 2. But he was on T.J. Hooker, which heard of the show. I don't think I ever watched it, but
Know
the show name.
Yeah, I know that was a right around that Fall Guy time. Like I think those were on like around the same time. In my head, those are kind of associated together. And I'll bet you if we go back and look, I bet a lot of these people were on the Love Boat.
Yeah, I'm sure they were, and I'm sure some were on my favorite show, Murder, She Wrote, it as well, right?
But, I mean, the standout stuff on this one, definitely the Mr. T. This is the first one, I think, that I remember watching where they showed the Simon Says thing, which was...
I don't know if it's the first one episode, but it's the only episode that we watch for this.
Okay.
I think I've seen it before, though, on different episodes.
Yeah, the guy was like, is he a professional? I don't know who a professional Simon Says guy, but obviously he knew what he was doing. He was doing tricks, like he would say, you know, Simon Says, put your hands up, and he would put his hands down so that when the people did what he was doing – you know, he would get him out. And then this is the one that ended with this kind of, I mean, it wasn't awkward, but it was kind of strange where he, like Mr. T had done something and he wouldn't leave. And so he's like telling other people, like Simon Says, you know, you need to make Mr. T leave. And
I think he tells, I think he tells Heather Locklear to like, you know, I think her and Adrian Zemed, because I think they're both on T.J. Hooker. Like they have to. Mm-hmm. He calls them by their character names, and because they're police officers to get them out of there and everything. It was kind of funny because you see that like smirk come out of Mr. T, where it's like he's putting on that activist, but he's just messing around. Right. And eventually he leaves because Heather Locklear kind of sweet talks him, and then they kind of walk off hand in hand. And he kind of gives a little smirk. So again,
yeah. And then the guy leaves with Nancy McKeon, and they're like, all right, we could all go, you know? So yeah, you know, that was another thing where it's like, it's not a serious competition, and it's getting to see those people. I mean, if you were a fan of these shows, if you were a fan of T.J. Hooker and Family Ties and all these shows from the 80s, then getting to see your favorite celebrities away, you know, out like how they really were, excuse me, was, you know, this is the kind of thing where that really shined.
Yeah. The guy you're talking about, he worked at some resort out in the Catskills, New York. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, but I like that. I liked having a little bit of a change up like this in the dunk tank. I'd rather watch that than golf.
Yeah, yeah. The golf thing was right off the bat, when they started talking about it, he was like, this isn't a very good golf hole. You know, like we set this up yesterday. So it was like they're kind of downplaying it. And I don't remember who it was. It was somebody that they were complimenting their golf stroke, and then they didn't. Like they didn't do very well in the competition. So it made it seem like the golf thing was as much luck as it was skill, you know? So, I thought this, the dunk tank, like those kind of things were more fun, you know, where you could see the people laughing and interacting with each other.
In general, I think you kind of said it in the beginning, but what are your thoughts of, like, you know, I know a lot of times we do the movie reviews and I'll kind of say at the end whether or not it's something I'll, you know, ever watch again, and or if it's something I just think is complete crap and never want to go back to. Obviously, for me, this is something I continue to keep going back to.
I definitely want to go through and watch them all. I have not seen all of them yet. I've seen probably half of them. Like you said that you put the episodes on sometimes when you're doing laundry. This is great background entertainment of that sort, because it's not like an hour of a plot that you have to follow. It's a lot of little events. So if you have it playing and you have to step aside to do something and come back, it's still enjoyable. Like, you haven't missed something that's integral, you know, to the plot. So it's really good for that. If you're into 80s television, you know, any type of thing like that, you're going to enjoy the people. Like you said, you may not know the names, but you'll know more faces than you'll know names, especially if you're retro. And the longer it goes on, I mean, it stands to reason that you're going to know more and more people. I mean, by the when's the last one? 87, 88?
I think 88.
Yeah, so I'm just jumping down to that. But
I think for anybody that would listen to this that's into retro stuff, and generally the 70s and 80s, because that's what we cover, I think anybody would get a kick out of watching these and just seeing those familiar faces going, oh my God, I mean, I forgot about that show. Or, you know, like me with Tales of the Gold Monkey, you know, forgetting about this stuff. I think anyone listening would probably get a kick out of this. I just want to mention a couple people that were on other episodes, mm-hmm. that, you know, kind of stood out to me. One of them, and he is actually a Throwback Reviews alumni, and that's Mark Harmon. He was in Summer School. He was on a bunch of episodes, and he, I believe, played football for UCLA. So he, you know, he's like an actor, but very athletic. So he mm-hmm. kind of dominated when he was in there. Another one, a guy who just passed away in the past year. I think last year, actually, early in the year, was Dan Haggerty, Grizzly Adams.
Oh, yeah, he did pass away, yeah.
Yeah, so he was another one that I enjoyed.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, just like I said, I was kind of going through it by year, so I haven't got to the later ones, but just flipping through, scrolling through here, Lisa Welchel from Facts of Life, Vicki Lawrence, Michael J. Fox, I'd like to see that. Gosh, who are some of the other ones that are down here? Flip Wilson.
Well, Tom Selleck.
Oh, Tom Selleck. I didn't see that.
Flip Wilson is on later. Tom Selleck is on some.
Kim Field. So it looks like all the Facts of Life. Yeah, I bet Natalie's not on there. That's everybody but Natalie. That's terrible. Tony Danza.
That's right. One of the actors that wasn't on as a contestant, but he was one of the co-hosts and husband of one of the prior contestants, Farrah Fawcett, was at the time married to Lee Majors, and he was on one of the episodes as a co-host.
Nice, nice.
And everyone should know him as from The Fall Guy and the Six Million Dollar Man.
I see Ted McGinley here, I don't know what he was famous for in the 80s, but of course we know him from Revenge of the Nerds, and we know him from Married with Children. So, yeah, there, I mean, there's just so many classic actors on here. I, you know, like I said, if you're listening to this show, you're going to enjoy, I mean, not this specific episode, but if you enjoy Throwback Reviews, I mean, you enjoy the era stuff that we talk about, then you're going to enjoy, Battle of the Network Stars. If nothing else, like what Sean said, go back and watch that first episode, because that really, sets the stage for what the other ones are going to be like. You know, it talks about the competition. You could see, the different, you know, some, I mean, the events change a little bit over time, but you see the events, you see that the captains. So, I mean, it's just fun, you know, and that's what a lot of stuff like when you watch, reality TV today, which I'm not a huge fan of modern reality television, but it's hard to ignore, and everyone is, or not ignore, but avoid, but it, there's so much drama. There's so much, you know, oh, they're talking behind my back. Oh, this is going on. That's going on. And this, you know, like I said, other than that incident in the first episode, it's not really like that. It's these three different networks. I'm amazed that you said, that they're going to bring this back, because, you know, it just feels like the logistics of getting people from different networks and stuff, and what network it's going to air on, unless every network were to air it or something. It seemed like things that would be more difficult to do today. So I'm excited. I will definitely watch the new one when it comes out. And I wonder if I will know more people on these old ones than I know on the new ones.
I will say that I am... not really looking forward to the new ones. I mean, I think that's the thing with the TV. Like you're saying, like, it's a lot of backstabbing and like that. Like, that's just like that's what all the reality TV is now. We do watch it. Like, I've watched Survivor since the first season, but I don't want to see any of those people on this. You know what I mean? And that's what I liked about these. It's actors. It's the characters from those shows that came mm-hmm. onto these. So,
yeah.
I will watch it. I have a feeling it's going to be something that doesn't come back after the first episode or two. I don't see it lasting, but I could be wrong. But if anybody wants to watch these, go to YouTube. There's a bunch of them on there. I don't know if they're all on there, but there's quite a few on there. I know the first episode's on. As a matter of fact, I'll even put a link to it in the show notes. And if you go to the website, you can even watch it. I'll probably have it on there. But yeah, check out YouTube. They're on there. I know they play them, because it's even stamped on some of the videos you watch that they were on ESPN Classics at times. So they probably do air at times. I did a search in my guide on TV and I can't find them, because I was like, well, maybe I get somewhat better copy, because they're not the greatest quality. But you know, it's the times,
right?
I think in a way it kind of adds to it.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you're not going to mistake it for, you know, like I said, HD TV, you know, some of it's a little bit blurry. Some of it's, you know, the colors aren't quite as vibrant or whatever you might say about modern TV, but it doesn't take away from the show at all. I don't think, I have tried to show my kids recently some old basketball clips, you know, as we're watching, like right now we're in the NBA finals. And then I say to them things like, boy, you know, if you would believe this, I mean, and this is stuff that's not that long ago, like trying to show them old clips of Michael Jordan or Larry Bird and people like that. And you watch those old sports clips and they're like almost unwatchable. Like at times I'm like, where is the basketball? Like you can't even tell what's going on. So, in this, I mean, it's swimming races, it's people running around a track and stuff. So, it's not like you can't, tell it. And like you said, it just adds to the charm. It does date it, but not to me, not in an unwatchable way.
No, not at all. But I think it, you know, it's what we're used to anyways, you know, with that time, you know, we didn't have the HD and the resolutions we have now. So it's
and we
fine.
Liked it that, you know, way.
I mean, if it, yeah, I mean, if it came out on HD or something, I would like it, but, I'm fine. Doesn't take it away from me at all. You know, it still looks better than it probably would have on the little, you know, 10-inch black and white TV I had in my bedroom at that time. So that's fine with me. But I think we're going to wrap this one up. I mean, we're going kind of long, but I would highly recommend watching, checking the show out. This is probably, other than like Ghostbusters, which was a movie I never saw before until we did it, and it's like one of my favorite 80s movies now. I absolutely love these shows. They're a lot of fun, so I definitely recommend checking them out.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, all the ones that I watched for this show were all on YouTube. So I don't know if they're all there, but there are a lot of them there. Just go search for Battle of the Network Stars, or if Sean will put that link in the show notes where you can find the first one. And if you're sitting around, you're working on your computer or just with nothing to do or nothing to watch, put one on just have it going in the background or whatever, and I guarantee you will find yourself strangely interested in a wacky Olympic-like competition between the networks that could have only taken place in the late 70s and 1980s.
All right, Rob. Well, hey, let's try to do this again before October, which would be the kind of the timeline we've been running on lately. But no, this is fun. It's always good to do it. I'd say you have maybe a little bit more free time right now for a while, and summer's coming up, so I should have some as well. So we'll try to get another one out maybe in the next month or two.
I can record at night, but during the day, I'm gonna start training for that next Battle of the Network Stars. I feel like we're going to put together the podcast stars. So it'll be, you don't want to be on my team unless we're doing like, I don't know. I don't feel like I would do it good at any of these events. So maybe that was a bad idea. I'll be the Howard Cosell thing. So I'll be the commentator and we'll get it organized. So
sweet. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Throwback Reviews. Check the show notes for links to some episodes, as well as where you can find Rob and all the stuff he's doing, and myself as well. I've got some different things going on you can check out. I'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. And hopefully we will talk to you sooner than later.
If you'd like to contact the show, you can send an email to feedback@throwbackreviews.com or call 716-243-2709 and leave a voicemail. You can also find us on Facebook, we're Throwback Reviews Podcast, or on Twitter @throwbackreview. Don't forget to head over to the Throwback Network, where you can find more great retro-themed podcasts. Go to throwbacknetwork.net. And as always, thanks to Pixel8 for the intro and closing music. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/peachypixel8.